While you're standing, would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for this privilege of standing before your people to represent you. And I ask you to let me be a conduit for your spirit, for your word to flow through. God, you never called a meeting that you didn't attend, but you always have a way of showing up in the power of your word, in the power of your spirit, and in the power of your name. And we ask, God, that you would be glorified, that this would be a divine appointment for somebody, and that you would speak life to your people. Get beyond my flesh, get beyond tiredness, get beyond anything that would hinder what you want to do. God, I receive now your anointing. You said you would send me to all people. I was not to look on their faces, for you would send me to all races, and I would minister unto them and prophesy unto them. And I believe you for that anointing right now in Jesus' name. I thank you for it. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. Pastor had me tearing. I'm thinking, man, I'm going to try to sing, and you got me tearing up over here. I'm so humbled to be here. Such a great atmosphere. How many know God is a God of restoration? I love that name, Restoration House. And he is a God of restoration. And he said he would restore the years that the cankerworm, the palmer worm, and the cutting worm have destroyed. Amen. And what that is saying is that, you know, he names those different insects because they eat different parts of the plant. One eats the leaves, one eats the stalk, and one eats the roots, and so on, until that plant is totally and completely devastated. And so God is saying, as much as your devastation is, that's how complete your restoration is going to be. Amen. And how many know when he restores it, he makes it better than it was in its original state. And excuse me, he doesn't duct tape stuff together. Amen. He doesn't glue it together. He makes it better than new. Amen. I want to try to do a song. I love this atmosphere. This is atmosphere for miracles, for life-changing things to happen. Amen. And so I want to try to sing. I've recorded some songs, and we travel to Honduras every year. Anything that you buy, half of the proceeds are going to go to missions. So we encourage you. There's a book that have some of the things that we're going to talk about. We were asked to talk specifically about something, so we're going to do that. And these guys, these funny-looking guys over here, they will assist you. But we have some music CDs, and we have some books. And what I do with the books is, when people buy a book, I ask God to give me something to sign. Not just, you know, thank you for buying the book, but I ask God to inspire me to write something for the person who bought the book. And so I do that, and I've had a lot of wonderful testimonies. I'm sure I've had some complaints, but they didn't come back to me. But some wonderful testimonies of the things that God had us to write. So if you do that and you bring the book to me, I will sign it, and I will ask God to give me something to write for you. Is that okay? Let me try this song. This is an old song. I'm an old dude, you know. And I was trying to make a good first impression. How y'all think I did? You know. You don't think the lapel flowers too much? Is it okay? I know what some of y'all think. I can tell y'all thinking. Some of y'all are thinking, that is the best looking black man I have ever seen. How many was thinking that? How many was thinking that? Oh, just the one brother in the back. Hey. Anyway, let's try this song, and we will go forward. I got more amens in the prison when I asked that question. But anyway, that's another message. Anyway. Give me some.
I dream of a city called glory. So bright and so fair. When I entered the gate, I cried, holy, the angels all met
me there. They carried me from mansion to mansion, and all the sights I saw. Then I said, I want to see Jesus, the one who died for all. Oh, my battle, my knees cried holy.
I mean, they know he's holy. The gates of that city, you know my loved ones, they all knew me well. They took me down the streets of heaven.
Oh, my knees cried.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. I have one open. Thank you. Turn to Mark, the 4th chapter, and then I'm going to read from Jeremiah, the 1st chapter. Was that all right? The song pretty good? I just signed a deal. I was thinking about signing a deal with RCA. Kind of old, but I didn't know you can get that many CDs for a penny. Yeah, you saw that? Come on, think about it now. In the back of, no, anyway. Mark, the 4th chapter. Begin reading at the 35th verse. And y'all pray for me, amen, and ask God to bless you in the word, would you? And the same day when the even was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. I want you to notice, Jesus says, let us pass over to the other side. 37th verse says, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. Go to the other side, storm. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Amen. Get on the boat, go into the other side, storm. Jesus is asleep. Turn to Jeremiah, the 1st chapter. I want to read the 10th verse. The Lord speaking said, see, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to, notice, to root out, pull down, to destroy, to throw down, to plant, to build, to plant, to build. We live in a rapidly changing society. Change is happening all around us in every aspect of life, in the world, in the church. The church world is changing, and the world is changing. And some of you have experienced this rapid change. Your life can, how many know your life can change in a moment? There was a story about the man speeding down the highway, and the state trooper pulls him over. He just knows he's going to get a ticket. And the state trooper looks in the car and sees that he's wearing his seatbelt. And he says, because you're wearing your seatbelt, you get our safety award. Comes with a $500 check. So he gave him a $500 check. And he said, tell me, what are you going to do with this money, $500? He said, well, now that I got the money, I can get my license. After he said that, his wife said, officer, don't pay any attention to him. He always talks that way when he's drunk. Then somebody speaks up in the back seat, said, I knew we wouldn't get too far with this stolen car. And at that time, a voice from the trunk said, help, I've been kidnapped. It's a humorous way of showing. How many know that changed real quick from a $500 check to going to jail, prison probably. In 2 Kings, you don't have to turn there, but in 2 Kings, the 7th chapter, the 3rd verse, it talks about 4 lepers in a time of famine. They're starving to death. And their life looked like it's over. And they make a decision, why sit here till we die? Let's go into the city. They go into the city, and in one day's time, the life changed. I say that because of what I want to talk to you about, because sometimes when we think we're going through things, we think it would take not only a move of God, but the moon has to align with Mars and Jupiter has to, you know, all these things have to come together for God to deliver us from some things that's been going on in our lives for so long. We think it's so long and so hard and so deep that not even God can bail us out. And it would take so many things, so many elements to come together for us to see some deliverance. But God can move in an instant, in a moment. Your life can change. Amen. And some of us, we've experienced this change, but we got to learn how to navigate the changes that's taking place in the world without losing ourselves, without losing control, and without falling apart and losing ourselves. Amen. Some of you have found out that people change. Relationships change. Your health can change. Your money can change. Your money can get funny, and that's no laughing matter. You know what I'm saying? And from one end to the spectrum, you can experience some kind of change in your life. Life throws you a curve. We have a saying around our church, and I've heard it. I thought I coined it by the Holy Ghost, you know, but I've been hearing everybody say it. Evidently, I didn't coin it, but... But we say all the time, somebody doing the message sometime is going to say that life happens. And life happens to everybody. And somebody said life is what happens while you're making plans. And what we mean when we say life happens, it is saying that no matter how much you plan, no matter how much you love God, no matter how faithful you are, no matter how good you try to be, no matter how good a friend you try to be, life would throw you a curve and you can end up in a place you never thought you would be. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You can end up in a place that you didn't plan. Not only did you not plan to be here in this unfamiliar place, but you can find yourself in a place that you tried to put things in place to prevent from happening. And it happened. And you find yourself in this uncomfortable place. And sometimes, it's not a sign that you don't believe God. It's not a sign that you're a spiritual reprobate or something's wrong with you. But you can find yourself in this unfamiliar place. And you can find yourself sometimes struggling. Let me ask you this question. How many of you are where you thought you would be at this point in your life? By show of hands. Over here. How many is exactly, in other words, you dreamed it, you planned it, you wanted it to happen, and you did, and all the elements, you worked hard, and you sacrificed, and all the elements came together, and right now you can say, I'm exactly where I thought I would be at this stage of my life. I rarely get hands when I ask that question. Why? Because life throws you a curve and you end up in a place that things happen that you did not plan on. When you got married, you never thought you would be divorced. When you had kids, you thought you would die before your kids would die. You never planned. One thing I used to say, I'm a word man, word of faith. And I said, one thing I used to say all the time was, two things will never happen in my body. Cancer and diabetes. And I was diagnosed 6 years ago with prostate cancer. Never planned on it. Never thought it would happen. I thought my faith would care. But I found out that even when you have faith, that sometimes God requires you to walk through some things. It's not a sign that he's not healed you or that he's not with you. But sometimes you have to walk through things. Is anybody here? And some of you know what I'm talking about as far as this change goes, because here's what I want you to understand. I believe that many of us are in this place in your personal lives, are in this place called transition. And most of you have experienced major, drastic changes in your life over the last 3 to 5 years. How many would say amen to that? How many can say, I have experienced some drastic, major changes in my life? Come on, don't be afraid. I've experienced major changes in my life over the last 3 to 5 years. Is anybody here?
Yes.
Life happens. You're in this place called transition. Let me tell you what transition is. Transition is not the end. You need to understand that. It is not the final resting place. It is not the end result. It is the passage that God uses to get you to the end. Write this down if you're taking notes, if you're not, just listen and get the tape, amen? But transition is the passage from one stage, state, or place to another. It's the passage from one stage, one state, or one place to another. That's transition. It is a movement, a development. It is evolution. It is evolving from one form, one stage, or style to another. So in other words, God, when he has us in transition, what he's doing is he's changing us, he's developing us, and he's moving us, and he's evolving us. He's changing us. What he's doing is transforming us. You know, transition is a temporary change. Transformation is a permanent change. Too many times we've experienced temporary changes that we thought were permanent. But how many know that transformation is what happens when a caterpillar turns into a butterfly? How many know a butterfly never goes back to being a caterpillar? So that change wasn't really a transformation. It was transition. But transition is meant to get you to transformation. God wants to establish the change and establish you on a level and establish you in a place that you'll never see your life move back to that place that it was. Is anybody here? God's changing you. God is moving you. But you need to understand that when you're in transition, unusual things can happen in your life. Unusual thing. And sometimes it can feel like your life is actually moving backwards. I mean, you had some semblance of stability, but God spoke to you and you stepped out in faith, and all of a sudden everything is up in the air, and you listen, you can be walking along loving God, and something can shift in your life, and you can find yourself in this unfamiliar, uncomfortable place. Is anybody here? You don't need to misunderstand what's God. You don't need to misinterpret what God is doing. You don't need to misunderstand what God is doing. Because listen, unusual things can happen. As a matter of fact, there are things that happen in the Bible that if it happened today, we would say it wasn't God. And sometimes things like that can happen when you're in transition. Some of you have experienced some unusual things. Is anybody here? I mean, God had Elijah to eat a meal cooked over waste material. He had Isaiah to walk prophesying, butt naked. Now, can you imagine if Pastor Brad showed up next? No, that wouldn't be God. No, that wouldn't be. No. Somebody got a visual, and that's that. I'm doing the jokes, okay? No, I'm just kidding. In transition, unusual things can happen. And things that you thought were stable and strong, and that you would always be able to depend on. Relationships. Pastor was talking a little bit. Relationships that you thought would be in your life forever, all of a sudden, those things that you thought were stable and strong become shaky and flaky. And people flake out on you. And friends hurt you. And things happen to hurt. How many has been hurt by somebody? How many of you hurt somebody? So see, it works out. Anyway, but I know for a fact that you can be in an anointed church like this with anointed preaching and teaching, with anointed music and anointed praise and worship going on, and still be in this shifting place where your life is feeling discombobulated and you don't even feel like a part of it all, and you can feel out of the loop. I mean, it's nothing that nobody's doing to you. It's just like it's something going on the inside of you. And you really can't even explain it. You ever had anybody to pull you to the side and say, I got a word from God, I got a word for you? Or get you in the parking lot, we call them parking lot prophecies. And they say, I got a word, and I see God closing a door behind you and opening a door before you. Yeah, how many had the open door, closed door prophecy? See, what they don't tell you that between the closed door and the open door is a long hallway. And it's cold, and it's dark, and you're in there by yourself, and you can't get back to where you were, and you're struggling to get to where you're going. You see the open door, but you're struggling to get to that open door. And so at times you want to go back to the closed door, but you can't get back through the closed door because the door is closed. I'm telling you, in transition, unusual things can happen, but you cannot panic, and you cannot think that God is against you, or that the enemy has the upper hand on you. He mentioned Paul and Silas, and Paul and Silas shows us that you can be doing the right thing and still go through hell. I read the scripture because I want you to understand that they got on the boat. God said, Jesus said, get on the boat. We're going to the other side. They get on the boat. Why did they get on the boat? Because Jesus told them to get on the boat. What's the first thing that happens when they got on the boat? A storm arises. The second thing that happens is they can't find Jesus. And when they do find him, he's asleep. You ever tried to obey God? Get on the boat? Start the ministry? Volunteer, sacrifice because Jesus told you to do it, and find yourself in a storm. Can I ask you this? Don't abandon your assignment just because what God has you doing becomes uncomfortable. We're not led by discomfort. We're led by the Spirit of God. Don't abandon your assignment just because it all of a sudden became uncomfortable. I move over here. They didn't like it over. Don't abandon your assignment just because all of a sudden it became uncomfortable. Because we're not led by discomfort. We're not led by pain. We're led by the Spirit of God. And I just showed you a scripture, and he quoted a scripture that tells you that you can be obeying God and be in the place that God wants you to be and still find yourself in a storm. How many know that Jesus knew about the storm? Now, I want to see a show of hands. How many know that Jesus knew about the storm? Why didn't he mention the storm? Don't you think it would have helped their faith if Jesus said, get on the boat, we're going to the other side. Going to be a little storm, don't worry about it. As long as I'm on board, don't worry about it, little storm. It's going to be all right. Why didn't he tell them about the storm? There are two reasons. Number one, they wouldn't have got on the boat. Some of you know you wouldn't have done everything God told you to do if you know you were going through the hell that you had to go through. Come on, you know I'm telling you the truth. Don't try to be super spiritual like, I would have done it anyway. No, you wouldn't. You've been trying to get out of it ever since you've been in it. I would have went anyway. No, you wouldn't. That's why he didn't tell them about the storm. He didn't tell them about the storm because most of us wouldn't get on the boat. The second reason he didn't tell them about the storm is because the storm was of no consequence. It didn't change what he said. Listen, your storms don't change the promises of God. Your promise don't change who God is. Your problems don't change who God is. Your storms don't change what God said to you. Listen, don't panic. You got to understand, you cannot panic and you cannot start doing crazy stuff just because you find yourself in this hallway called transition or you find yourself in a storm. You can't get crazy. Don't go out and buy a sports car. Don't get a motorcycle. Don't leave your wife. Don't leave your church. The church is still anointed. It is not the church. The pastor is still preaching anointed word. It is not the pastor. What's going on is God is dealing with you about you. And he knows that there's something more in you than you've been putting out. So he has you in this place called transition. And he's showing you who you are so that you can become who you're supposed to be. When you obey in God and you get on the boat because he tells you to get on the boat, if you understand transition, you understand God is a God of process, then you understand that the bottom of the sea is not an option. You can't go down. Because Isaiah 46 and 10 says he speaks the end from the beginning. And so when he says get on the boat, When he says, I called you to be a mighty man like you did Gideon, it doesn't matter what you look like, because sometimes God speaks to us and we look a million miles away from it. Especially when we're in this place called transition and all hell is breaking loose and we find ourselves in a storm. So many times we think that we're going down and we become like the children of Israel. We panic because we find ourselves in a wilderness and we start prophesying mess to ourselves and to our life. And we're talking about, God, why'd you do this to me? Lord, this ain't gonna never work. I ain't gonna never be who you called me out to be. Lord, why am I going through what I'm going through? And you start prophesying mess in your life. The children of Israel actually died in the wilderness because they misunderstood the purpose that God had them in the wilderness. Yeah. It wasn't their end. They said, God, you brought us out here to die. In other words, this is where we're going to end up. You brought us out here to die. This is the end of our life. Everything is going to be over. No. That's not why he brought them in. That's not why they were in the wilderness. They were in the wilderness because the wilderness was transition. It was the thoroughfare. It was the vehicle that God was using them to get them to the promised land. You don't step out of Egypt into your promised land. There's a little thing in the middle that you have to deal with. It's called wilderness. And it is a place of process. It is where God shows you who you are. You know, we think we're more wonderful than we are sometimes. Right? See, one of the most devastating things to your life was not the pain and what everybody else did to you. What was devastating to you was to find out that you wasn't as deep as you thought you were. When God begins to transition you and show you who you are, you find out, God, I really do still need you. Listen, you don't never outgrow grace. You grow in grace. You don't outgrow grace. And you never get so big. You never graduate in this thing. You never get so big that you don't need God. And some people think, the deeper I get, the more knowledge I get, the less I need God. No, the more you need him. Is anybody here? I'm just trying to help you to understand what's going on in your life, because God has not abandoned you. You're in this place. The only reason the children of Israel were in the wilderness was because God was taking them somewhere. And he was taking them to somewhere that was better than what they had experienced and what they were currently experiencing. God has something greater for them. God has something better for them. Yes. I mean, no, Jesus knew about the storm. Yes. Let me ask you this. Why do you think your storm takes him by surprise? Y'all didn't get that. We tell people, God knows what you're going through. And then we think, we act like our storm took God by surprise. Like, don't you see me? Don't you know me? Don't you know where I am? God, where are you? Because sometimes in transition, you feel like Jesus ain't even on board. And if he is on board, he's asleep. And he's not concerned about what's going on with you. Is anybody understanding transition? Listen, the only reason you're in this place is because God is taking you somewhere. Something greater. Something more powerful. That's why you get up on the stage and you're uncomfortable. What are you doing? You're growing. You're in a transition. You're uncomfortable now, but you're doing something and you're growing and you're learning and you'll be better for it. I'm trying to talk to my sister. Hola. A little Espanol for you. You don't step out of Egypt into your promised land. There's a little thing in the middle called the wilderness. It's not because God has abandoned you. It is not because God is against you. You can be exactly. Every storm is not a sign that you're out of the will of God. Sometimes a storm is an indication that you are exactly where God wants you to be at this time in your life. Amen. Can I tell you, I want to end with this. I'm just, this is a series and I can't do the whole thing. This is a book. I can't do the whole book. But I want you to understand where you are, because if you understand where you are, then you'll stop panicking and you stop doing some of the crazy stuff you're doing in your flesh. Because we try to get fleshly answers to spiritual dilemmas. And what's happening to you is not natural. It is not your friends. It is not the pastor. It is not the church. It is not everything and everybody. It is you. God's dealing with you about you. He knows there's more in you than you've been putting out. And he's not going to allow. He uses what I call the agitation of the Holy Ghost. Makes you dissatisfied. Dissatisfaction with where you are. Makes you uncomfortable where you are. Because I found out that when we're comfortable where we are, we don't look for more. We don't try to do better. And so God throws us into this little thing called transition and starts processing us and saying, listen, you've been doing good, but you can do better. You've been doing great, but you can do greater. You're good, but you can do better. And I'm not going to allow you just to do good when great is in you. I am not going to allow you to be satisfied where you are when I know that there's more in you that you're capable of. You got babies on the inside of you. You got nations on the inside of you. You got life on the inside of you. How dare you get comfortable and satisfied when you know I've called you to more? And so he makes us a little uncomfortable. He makes us uncomfortable. Because he knows he has to get. Let me show you what transition. Let me end with this story, all right? In my hometown, we live out past the college. The high school is past us. It's a two-lane road. And they start prophesying about a four-lane highway. And all of a sudden, we get excited. Man, there's a four-lane coming. It'll be easier for people going to work than this little two-lane. The college students, they won't be racing each other on the two-lane. It'll be so much better. It'll be, the traffic will flow easier for the students going to high school and work. It'll be so much easier. And it looked like, you know how the state is. Oh, yeah. It was years in the making. We thought, this prophecy ain't never coming to pass. We ain't never getting our four lane. And all of a sudden, one day, out of nowhere, big trucks appear. And we get excited. The prophecy is coming true. The prophecy is coming true. We're getting a four lane highway. It's going to be so much better than this little two lane. It's going to be great. You know the first thing that happens? A two lane become a one lane. Some of you getting it? Because your two lane life, that you didn't even ask God for no four lane. We didn't go petitioning for a four lane. They decided we're going to give you a four lane. You didn't petition God. God, I know there's a four lane in me. You were satisfied with your two lane. And you know that you wanted more, but God, I'm learning how to be content in whatever state I'm in. I got my two lane and I'm doing some things for God and I'm okay. And God pulls you out and says, listen, I got a four lane in you. I'm making you a four lane. And you get excited, you start telling everybody what the word you got and then what God is speaking to you. The first thing that happens is you find yourself a one-lane road, dirt road. Is anybody here? Anybody relate? Anybody understand what I'm saying to you? Your two-lane becomes a one-lane. You know what? They didn't tell us about the trucks being everywhere, about the cones, the signs. They didn't tell us about tearing up the yards. They didn't tell us about the dirt and the dust that would be everywhere messing up your new wash job. They didn't tell us about the fat guy with the cup of coffee, the walkie-talkie, and the cigar in his hand, and the flag. And he don't care that you're late for work. He's got the flag. He's got the authority. And you're not going until I say you can go. Right? Some of you, have you ever felt like that? God is working. You find yourself, it seemed like that you under construction, all this mess, all this dirt is everywhere, and it seemed like the devil has got the flag. They didn't tell us about all the mess. But you know what? They didn't have to. They really didn't have to. When they told us about the four lane, we understand process. Right. what the church doesn't understand sometimes. Because when God speaks to us a four lane, we think it's going to be wonderful. They're going to plop this four lane down on top of this two. No, God, it don't work like that. There's a thing called process. You don't step out of Egypt into the promised land. And when you get on the boat, because God told you to get on the boat, sometime you're going to have a storm. They didn't have to. Because there's a thing called process. You don't put four lanes on top of two lanes. You ever notice this is the only reason I read Jeremiah? Was because before he talked about building and planning, two things, building and planning, he named four things to undo some stuff. Because life, when life happens to you, it has a way of bending you in a way, a get away from God. And so God has to process you and bend you back toward him. And sometimes the great work is getting Egypt out of you. God never could get Egypt out of the children of Israel. And so sometimes the process is twice as long. Jesus was processed 30 years for 3 years and 3.5 years of ministry. Some of you, you've been in process. God's not abandoned you. God's not giving up on you. God's not taking back his word to you. What he said to you is still good. You're not canceled it out. Listen, you're not spiritually reprobate. You're not damaged. You're not flawed. You're not a mistake. You're not messed up. You're not abandoned. God has not abandoned you. You got the goods. And God knows you got the goods. That's why he talks about purging and cutting back limbs. Don't feel good. Don't even sound like it feel good. Purging. Pruning. Doesn't sound good. But it's necessary for extra growth. He purges it. He prunes it so they can bring forth not less fruit. More fruit. We got a four lane, prettiest stretch of highway in Madisonville, in the whole city. It was wonderful. It's wonderful. But the process took as long as it took. And we had to go through it, and we couldn't cry and stomp our feet and get mad at God and give God ultimatums to speed up this process. There is no, listen, there's no shortcut to the anointing. There's no blue light special on the anointing. There's no discounts. No Holy Ghost discounts on the anointing. God's not abandoned you. God's not giving up on you. Don't you give up on him. Don't you panic. Don't you do some foolish in the flesh because you don't understand what's going on. Don't you be like the children of Israel and prophesy your own death because you don't trust God. God sent me here today to warn you, to help you, to encourage you, to bless you. Because he knows that you're about to enter into something. This church is about to enter into something. You're about to enter into something. Don't panic. Don't blame the pastor when he shares with you the vision. It is the vision from God. God is sharing with you what he wants to share with you. And I know I'm preaching good because I'm spitting everywhere. Have you got spit on yet? He's dodging. That's anointed Holy Ghost spit, man. You let it touch you. You let it get on you. It'll heal you. That's why you're going to leave here with your problems. You wouldn't let the spit on you. No, I'm just kidding. Have I been talking to anybody? I need to pray with some people. God's not done with you. And I see you as a little girl. You know, he read my bio where the devil tried to kill me before I was even born. My mom made a decision. 16, poor, black, three strikes. No, I'm just kidding. in high school, made the decision to have an abortion, went to the clinic, laid on the table. The man actually performed an abortion on her. Sometimes later she felt life still growing on the inside of her. And to me, you would think, maybe I'm supposed to have a baby. You know, I thought she went back the second time, laid on the table, went through the process and the procedure. She aborted me not only once, but twice. Yet 9 months after conception, a very pretty baby boy was born. She didn't know that the baby she was trying to get rid of would grow up to be a man of God. That would spend over half of his life trying to save other people. But God did. You understand? God did. But I say that because sometimes the devil tries to kill you. The devil tries to put strongholds in our life that's designed to keep us struggling for the rest of our life. God didn't abuse you. Didn't want it to happen. But he wants to heal you. And there's a healing for you. I want you to stand. I want you to stand. I want you to receive this today. Because there's great grace upon you. And the enemy wants you to think you're cursed and abandoned and see yourself as this bad little damaged little girl. But God's always had plans for you, always had designs on you. And then now it's time for you to wake up. And it's time for you to stand up. And it's time for you to start thinking destiny in a more serious way, destiny and purpose and life. You're not a victim. You're an overcomer. Didn't the pastor say that? You're an overcomer. Overcoming means that there's something in your life that you have to overcome. You say things like, this is going to be a great year. This is a year of miracles. Miracles mean that there's things are happening that nobody else, nothing else can help. Nothing else can change. It takes God to change it. So don't think when you say that you're a miracle and I've been going through hell ever since. That's what the miracle is for, to get you out of hell. People think everything's going to be wonderful when you prophesy and speak things like that. It's your healing. It's your day of healing. It's your day of life. It's your day of a new beginning. Amen. You're not that hurt little damaged little girl. You're an end time handmaiden. And so I would say to you, daughter, arise and take your rightful place in the kingdom. And know that even the Lord God, your Father, your God, heals you. And he speaks life to you, to every area of your life. And he's putting back together the broken pieces. And he's causing you to be safe, to be sound, to be whole. In Jesus' name, he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. I need, there's a woman, altar worker. Can I get somebody to come and just hug her and be Jesus? You can do that, can't you, mother? Amen. Hug. That's what, if Jesus was here in the flesh, he'd be hugging you with a big bear hug like sister here. Amen. He loves you so much. I need to pray for some people. Would you come up? If I've been talking to you, can I lay hands on some people? We'll try to speed it up a little bit. But you can't. If I've been talking to you, let me pray with you, all right? Did God help you, show you, lead you through this transitional time, season? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I see that, you know, a lot of people think you're weird in some ways. But God's called you to be daring and to be willing to do what nobody else would do. And to be willing to step out in areas that nobody else would step out. He's calling you to be like Joshua. And he's calling you to be ready to step into your place and to be ready to run to the battle. And that there's no more retreating. There's no more backing up and punting. There's no more of you taking down and sitting down and being quiet. But God says it's time for you to stand up and allow his spirit to stand up on the inside of you. Listen, spiritual is not weird. Spiritual is not weird. You don't have to try to entertain people. You don't have to try to convince people. All you got to do is be sensitive to the Spirit of God and allow him to lead you and guide you. And I believe, brother, that you're going to be amazed at the things that God begins to lead you into. and I see that there's a process that's taking place. God is like he's stripping you and peeling you like a banana, but he's just getting the outer stuff, peeling away all the outer stuff, peeling you like an onion, and taking away the layers of hurt, the layers of death, the layers, taking all those layers to get to the good stuff, to get to the profitable stuff, to get to the stuff that the enemy has been trying to hide and the enemy's been trying to cover up. You're no more to be undercover, but you're to be put on display. You're to be put on display, and God loves you. As you honor God, God is going to honor you, and he's going to give you honor where there was shame. He's going to give you honor where there was shame, and he's going to honor his word in your life. It's a good time for you. It's a good season for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Would you lift your hands before him? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You guys married? Good. Glad y'all stopped living together. Finally. Who's that? Somebody said put a ring on it. If you like it, put a ring. Who's that? Yeah. No, y'all never did live together. No, don't answer. But I really feel like that God's going to bring you into a season where he's going to show you, because, you know, as great as you guys look together, the enemy's been trying to drive a wedge between you, and has been trying to do some things undercover and secret thing. I mean, just trying to bring in some stuff. And really what he's doing is trying to bring up the old stuff that he knew he had. And he keeps telling you, I got something on you that you can only go so far. Because if you go too far, I'll reveal this, I'll expose this. And God wants you to know that he's going to show you why he brought you together, because this is God. This is God's desire for you. So don't even think about going anywhere else. Don't even think about separating. Don't even think about living apart. But know that God's going to begin to show you the reason, the purpose that he brought you two together. And he's going to also show you the reason the enemy has been so mad at you and trying to tear this thing apart and trying to tear this thing up. It will not be successful, but you got to be resolved. I'm not going anywhere. I'm standing to see this thing out. I'm riding this thing out. I like what the pastor said. Covenant is what? Loyal love. And some mistakes need to be forgiven, don't need to be talked about again. If you say you forgive it, then you can't bring it up. You don't have the right to bring it up anymore. No more. No more. It's over. It's done. And now you're going to step out of your past. You're going to step into the future, because you've been living in the past in some area. But now God says he's going to help you to step into the future. I mean, no, you can't step into your future holding on to your past. You can't do it. And so God's pushing you forward, nudging you forward into your future. You know what? In your future, you look much better than you do right now. Things are better than they are right now. He loves you guys, and he brought you together. It is time to do some things together, do some things for the kingdom of God together, because God brought you together. What God's joined together, let no woman, no man divide. Amen. We're moving into the future. Amen. We're moving into the future. Is that all right?
Yes.
You still like me?
Yes.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Just so much. Much of it. What time
you,
I used to get
it? You don't worry about that.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Let me pray for you, Pastor.
Yes.
Father, I just bless this man of God. And I thank you, God, for the vision that you've given to him. And even at times, God, it's been so big that his knees have buckled under the weight of it, under the enormity of it. God, it's just so big and so wonderful, but it's been all you the whole time. And God wants you to know and understand that it's not just ambition. It is not just that you're driven by ambition. You're driven by this. You're driven by that. Because God wants you to know that he's ordering your footsteps. He's ordering your footsteps and he's giving you clear direction. And you use the word that God is going to require of you a precision. That God is going to require a precision of effort. That you have to know that you know this is what God wants us to do. And when it doesn't look like it's there, when the finance don't look like it's there, all you need to know is that I'm on the boat because God told me to get on the boat. And because I'm on the boat because he told me to get on the boat, we ain't going under. And that God, there's a, and you're pretty, you're strong, and you're bold in some areas. I mean, you seem so humble, and you know, to me, just like you wouldn't hurt a fly. But there's a boldness that's in you, and that's coming up and awakening even more on the inside of you, because you're gonna know that you heard from God, and that God is leading you, and God is in charge of this. And I just declare this, brother, over this church and over you, that no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. And every tongue that rises against you to judge you will be shown to be in the wrong. There have been barbs and things said against you. And tried to sully this church. But God is making you like Teflon. It's not going to stick. None of this stuff is going to stick. And it's not going to change the plans and the purposes that God has for this church and for this vision of this church. It is not going to change what God is going to do. And I feel like God is going to send more errands, more people to hold up your arms. And not have an agenda. And not look for a position and not want something out of you and not want something, because you've experienced that so many times that people come, you're my pastor, God send me here to, and when you didn't walk way you want, they wanted you to walk, you didn't do the things that they wanted you to do, they abandoned you, and they went, and it's been like, God, who can I trust? Lord, who can I put this on? Who can I trust? And God said, I'm sending you people that's going to have a heart for ministry, and they're going to hold up your arms, and they're not going to abandon you, and they're not going to have an agenda, and they're not going to serve for price, or for gold, or for silver. They're going to serve because it's what God called them to do.
Yes.
And I just feel like that this is a season of honoring, that God is going to honor you.
Yes.
Honor you.
Yes.
And I just feel like the enemy has tried to make you doubt some things, but God is going to remove all that. God's going to take away all the doubt. And it's not that you're not going to have to walk by faith, but you're going to have to walk it out by faith. And sometimes, brother, you're going to have to step out on what looks like nothing. And once you make that step, because God told you to take that step, what you need is going to appear. What's going to be under your feet is going to appear. It's going to show up, and it's going to be there, and it's going to be stable and strong. And I see a concern about stability. God is causing a new stability to come, and he's establishing some things. Foundation. There's been some foundational work that's God been doing, that's some things have looked shaky, and God's had the devil on the leash. You need to know that the enemy has done some things, been allowed to do some things, because he was exposing, God's exposing some things in order to strengthen those things. And God's going to strengthen those things, and what's been shaky and what's been flaky is going to pass away, and it's going to be replaced with strength and stability. And God is strengthening the foundation. The foundation of this work, God is doing it by his hand, by his power.
Yes, amen.
By his hand.
Thank you, God.
And by his power.
Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus.
And you need to quote the scripture.
Yes.
It's not by my power, it's not by my might, but it's by your spirit. It's by your spirit, Lord. It's by your spirit. It's by your spirit. It's by your spirit. It's by your spirit.
Yes.
God, I release just a fresh anointing upon him. Every weariness, every heaviness, every tiredness, God.
Yes.
Let it fall at his left hand and at his right hand. And I thank you that he's never lost his love, never lost his passion, God. But there's been times when he's questioned, he had to question some things. And it's been okay. It's not a sign of weakness.
Yes.
It's spiritual to question things.
Yes.
Mary said, how can these things be? It's spiritual to question things.
Yes.
And so, God, I just released a fresh strength, a fresh anointing upon him. In Jesus' name.
Yes. Jesus.
In Jesus' name. From the crown of his head to the soles of his feet.
Yes.
Bless this man of God. Bless this man of God. Use him for your glory. Use him for your glory. Use him for your glory. Listen, don't abandon ship just because you've experienced a few storms. You're on the boat of this church because God told you to get on this boat. And you stay on it even though it looked like there's a storm, whatever's going on. Just know that in your life, not just this ministry, but in your life, that God has you. God has got you. And that he's taken you to something greater. He's taken you to something better. Don't mourn what you've lost. Don't mourn your Sauls. God trying to bring a David into your life. Don't spend time mourning and crying over Saul that you missed your David. That you missed the heart of God. So I bless these people. I bless everyone, God, that feels like they're in transition, that have questioned themselves, Lord God, that have lost their confidence, Lord. I pray for them, God, that you would restore to them. That you would restore them. That you would restore to them, God, all that looked like it was lost, Lord. And God, that you would let this house really be a restoration house, a house of restoration, that people's lives would be restored, people's marriages would be restored, people's finances would be restored, people's health would be restored, people's ministry would be restored, people's opportunities would be restored because of the word that would come out of this place. I pray your protection over this people and over this house, God, and I bless everyone, God, that have shed a tear, God. I bless everyone, God, that have gone through hell. I bless everyone, God, that's in the storm right now. And I thank you, Lord God, for giving them that quiet assurance that they really are going to be all right. That their life is going to be all right. Their marriage is going to be all right. Their home is going to be all right. Their family is going to be all right. Their children is going to be all right. Their money is going to be, that they will recover all, God. They will recover all. I bless this house. I bless this people, God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. In the mighty name of Jesus. If you believe that, if you receive that prayer, would you give God some praise? Would you thank him? Hallelujah.
Just, if you will, just stay where you're at. I know that some of you came with some anticipation to me and minister to him, Pastor Marvin.
I'll stay here.
I knew that was his heart.
For you, minister to you, prophesy to you, whatever. I'll stay. We'll let everybody that needs to go home,
right.
Go home. And I'll stay up here. I'll sit up here and I'll pray with you.
That's exactly what we were going to. You said what I was going to say.
Oh, okay.
But I knew that was in your heart already. There's always a tension in men and women who are called to minister to God's people. There's a tension. We want to honor time, but we also know that time doesn't understand Holy Spirit. And so there's always a tension in us. Every Sunday, every time we gather with God's people. But I know that some of you here today, you're saying, I don't care what time it is. I need something to change in my life. And so we're going to honor that expectation. And we'll be here as long as we have to. The restaurant will wait. Because we're taking Pastor Marvin to lunch and we're going to feed him good. Do you think he's earned a wonderful meal today? You get a 20 piece today. 20 piece. But we're going to do that. We're going to let you, if you need to go, we understand sometimes there's obligations, things you've committed yourself to. We completely understand that. We also know that some of you, you want to sit here and you want to watch what God does. You're welcome to do that. If you want to fellowship and greet one another, love on one another, encourage one another, please take time to do that. But do that out in the lobby or outside. It might be pretty enough to do it outside. But if you want ministry, we want you to stand here. I'm going to be here with Pastor Marvin, and we'll be here until the last person's here. We won't be able to engage in a lot of discussion, conversation. Let's let Pastor Marvin minister. You receive it by faith, and let the Lord begin to speak to you, okay? All right, can we do that? Mike, do you have it in you to play a little bit longer? No? Sure? Do you got to be anywhere?
He's Mike.
No? All right, we'll let him play 10 more minutes, and then we'll cut on something pretty nice, all right? Is that good? Alondo, you got something ready? You got something in the can? Yes, please stop back at the table. Here's the practical part. This is not quenching the spirit. It just is what it is. Connect course tonight at 5. Serve night tomorrow night at 6. Wednesday night at 6. Even if you can only come and serve an hour, it will be welcomed and very much appreciated.